Get ready for a transformation.
But in this kingdom, we start growing. We are replacing those carnal thoughts with the word of God. Our minds are renewed to the word of God. At that time, glory, glory, glory. So when we are speaking from knowledge. Or you wake up and say, "Hey, bonga fish and gari." Glory to God! I took it in the dream. I will never take it in life. In the name of Jesus.
See, I'll never be poor.
Jesus Christ. Pay attention to everything I'm going to show you.
Another life-changing moment with Apostle Peters.
I want to quickly talk to you about recovering your destiny in God. Recovering your destiny in God. Okay, I want you to turn with me to the book of Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. From the 10th verse. Now, first of all, I want you to know that destiny is that to which a person or a thing has been designed to fulfill. That to which a person or a thing has been destined is actually preordination. That which you were preordained to fulfill. And there are two kinds of destinies, I've told you before. There are two kinds, two types. The first one is your destiny in God. The second one, thank you Lord. The second one is your destiny in the world. W-O-R-L-D. Your destiny in the world. Now, your destiny in the world can also be called natural destiny. Natural destiny. That is determined by your environment, the family you were born into, how rich or poor, where you were born, your environment, what are the things in your atmosphere, what are the things that influenced you, okay, who are those that are around mentoring you, is it your uncle, your auntie, and so on, the circumstances surrounding you, that's what results in a natural destiny. For instance, if your daddy is the friend of Joe Biden, the present US president, okay, automatically you may have to be friends, or your father's children may have to be friends with Joe Biden's children. You understand? And in fact, you may eventually marry one of the daughters. I'm not sure he has a daughter. I don't know. But I'm just saying. Okay? Or one of the boys. Why? Because they say, oh, friend to friend. So, to make the relationship thick, let's marry from... You understand? Situation organized it that way. So, when you go in that path, that's fulfilling natural destiny. For instance, your father is poor, maybe. And you were born into one village somewhere. And that's where you grew. But because of seriousness, you want to further, you want to go to school. So the kind of school you'll probably be thinking of would be a school where you don't have to pay much. A federal university. And so, you have to write JAMB and the rest, and then you find yourself in a federal university. Okay? As a result of the situations in your life. So why can't you think of a covenant university? He said, because I wish I could, but we don't have the money. You see, I want to go to school, but I have to stay with what I can afford. You see, what's determining it? The natural circumstances. Now, if somebody came up and said, don't worry, I'll sponsor you through if you want to attend out of that university, the private university. If somebody came up and said so, then, wow, you were glad. And then, okay, let's do it. And then you went for that one. You see what is determining your movement in life? Natural things. Natural circumstances. It's called natural destiny. Then, your destiny in God, which is also known as divine destiny, is that destiny, that's one that God made you for. That's which you were born to do. Which God, when God, before he created you, he saw ahead what you should fulfill, then he made you. That's the reason why he made you of this height, of this structure, everything about you. He put it there because of what he has planned for your life. And in reality, that's the real destiny. Because we don't have two gods. There's only one God that everybody will answer to. And when you face him, he will be the one to ask you. He will be the one to question you. He will be the one to judge you. Okay? You see, and this God will be the one to ask you. He will be the one to question you. You will give him answer. You won't give anybody else answer. You won't get to heaven and your daddy is there waiting and says, all right, come. You remember I sent you to school. You didn't do what I asked. No, it will be God. To be God. And that's why his own destiny for your life, his plan for your life, is what you should pursue. That's what you should pursue. It's not what is living this life without knowing what you were ever born to do. You are just going your own way, doing your own thing. What a wasted life. Can you imagine? You will even be rewarded only based on what God asks you to do. Can you imagine? That means if you don't do what he asks you to do, there is no reward. You may be a good Christian, nice Christian, you know. You don't hurt anybody. You don't go against anybody. You're very calm. You're very nice. You know. But in all of it, you still get to heaven without any reward. Why? Because you didn't do what God asks you to do. But you make heaven anyhow. You still make heaven. I don't want to be that. No. Glory to God. All right, so that's that destiny. Now, my focus today is on the divine destiny. Now, when God made you and made your destiny, he sure puts, by the way, you cannot begin that divine destiny until you're born again. Nobody can fulfill it. You can't begin to even know it except you're born again. The day you're born again is the day that you activate that thing in your life. You can fulfill God's destiny for your life the day you were born again. And God ensures that he puts people in place that will help you reach there. You see that? I want to show you something. Jeremiah chapter number 3. Jeremiah chapter number 3, reading from the 15th verse. Talking about your destiny in God, alright? I want to show this divine destiny. Have you found that? Jeremiah, if you don't know where it is, go to the table of contents. It's under the Old Testament. Jeremiah chapter number 3. 15th verse. Read it, everyone. Want to go? You see, God is smart. Every person, every child of God has his own pastor. He designed it such that there is a pastor for everyone. The day you were born again, you have your pastor. In fact, before you were born again, he already ordained that there is a pastor that can help oversee your life. Because God cannot lie. That's what he said. For some others, there's a man of God that has been planned by God. Why all this? So that you can fulfill your divine destiny. Excuse me. A counselor in the university cannot help you fulfill your divine destiny. I believe you know that. It will only tell you, motivate you. Make sure you read. Read very well. Readers are leaders. And the other motivational speech. But that will not make you know God. But there is a man of God. You see, that's why I feel sorry for young people. You come to school without having a pastor. I feel sorry for you. You just jump from church to church. You just jump, you know, you just go everywhere. You don't have a pastor. You have to have a man of God. Somebody that can help you with your destiny. You see, you are still young. There's a lot of things that you've not even faced yet. There's a lot about life. When I see young people and they are being rude, they don't take spiritual things seriously. You're talking to them about spiritual things, you know, they just walk out on you. Some of them will even be joking, I can't come to church because of this. The reason I was not in church on Sunday is because the reason I'm not so religious, they think it's religion. The reason I'm not so religious is because, you know, I had to go for this, go for tutorial, go for this. You see, you just know that he doesn't know anything yet. By the time you're faced with life, real situations, you know, right now, you don't know much about life. You need money. I mean, you give them a call. Daddy, please. So they send you the money. So you don't know how daddy is getting it. And when daddy says there is no money, you get confused. Why? You see, sometimes you even sympathize. But at the back of your mind, you're thinking, when his mate were make good doing things, what was he doing? How come he's not making money? See, the daddy of so-and-so. Why is my own father like that? It's because you don't understand about life. Oh, I feel sorry for you. You see, that is the reason why now is when you should prepare for your life. You see, you must be smart. You must be smart. First, you have to recognize that the spiritual controls the physical. And don't be guaranteed by your friend, uncle, auntie, or yourself, or the devil, that because you're doing well at school, then the top is yours. I'm sure those who give that, those who used to give those advice those days, they are beginning to retract their words now, because they are beginning to see some things and it's baffling them. They're wondering what's going on. You know, in those days we used to think that any medical doctor is a millionaire, is going to be a millionaire. I mean, if your daughter or your son wanted to go study medicine, you were happy. I mean, medical doctor, because you thought. But we've since learned that is not so at all. Why? I'll tell you. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, turn there. Let me show it to you. Does anybody have the NLT version? NLT. Does anybody, I have it here, but I'm just thinking of someone else. You have the NLT, that's New Living Translation, right? Good. I just feel I should show you something. Have you found it? All right, read it, everybody. One, two, go. Actually, I didn't hear what you were reading. I was just hearing, because everybody was reading. But I think you're using different versions. All right, read from your own version.
I have observed something else under the sun.
Hold on. I want you to listen carefully. You know, sometimes when you're reading from King James, King James uses some English that could be ambiguous. You know, when you're reading from King James, you go like, thou, shout. Ye, all those things. So you go like, oh God, what's this? Minute, minute, You get bored, and that's why some people sleep off. Okay. But this one will speak as though it's your friend that is talking to you. Breaks it down. So read it again. Start again.
I have observed
something else under the sun. Okay.
The fastest runner doesn't always win the race.
Did you see that one? The fastest runner doesn't always win the race. No, that is contradictory. I mean, according to common sense, run fast. Go very fast. Don't let that guy go ahead of you. Naturally, yes. But then, God, who is wise, is trying to give you wisdom now. When you're dealing with, let's run from here to that flower. Alright. Are you ready? No. You are there. Physical things. But when it comes to life race, that's what it's showing you. This man that wrote this under the inspiration of the Spirit of God was the wisest man that ever lived until Jesus. His name is Solomon. I mean, God gave him the most wisdom. He had it abundantly before Jesus showed up. Jesus said, greater than Solomon is here. So, wisdom is talking. He says, I have observed something else under the sun. That's on earth. The fastest runner doesn't always win the race. Why? Read.
And the strongest warrior doesn't always win the battle.
Did you hear that one? Don't worry. We'll fight it out. What are you trying to say? I have my muscle. He says, he doesn't always win the battle. At least we found out when we read about David and Goliath, we found out that is true. Goliath was strong. Goliath was built. He was trained. He was skilled, according to the Bible. And the Bible says he had been a man of war from his youth. David was just a youth, 17 years old. And yet, this Goliath had been a man of war. He had been practicing this thing. He had won many wars. He was their champion there in Gath. He was the champion of the Philistines. And that's why the children of Israel, you thought the children of Israel didn't know how to fight battles? You thought they were small children? But yet they ran. When they saw him, they said, nobody wants to go there. Everybody ran. Why? They heard about him. They knew his history. They knew the guy is strong, man. I mean, just looking at him physically, fear came upon them. They saw his shield that only a whole person had to carry the shield of one man. One whole person. Shield that if you're carrying, you use one hand to carry to go and fight. One man, it took a whole adult to use two hands to carry the shield. And even the one that carried the shield could not see because the shield was really, really big. According to the Bible, his sword was the heaviest in the land. So they saw all of that. They had to run. They say, nobody wants to go there. Why? The guy was strong. But then, the Bible described another fellow, David by name. He was ruddy. He had no V. Do you understand? Or the V and the chest and all that. He didn't have any of those. He was just one slender looking guy. Frail looking guy. Weak looking guy. But that guy had something else. You see, that this other one did not have. Who determines who wins? God! So you see, I feel so sorry for you. If all you let's, no, there's time for religion. So let's put religion aside. Is that it? That's why many young people are suffering spiritually. When I mean spiritually, a lot of things are fighting them. You wonder at their age. At this age, why is this one going through this? At his age. The guy is not even up to 25 yet, but a lot of battles in his life. Certain kind of dreams. But he's not telling anybody. You see, he comes out and dresses well with his long chain. He's still doing you. Yeah, you. But he knows that he's fighting something. Some things are fighting him. But he's covering up. You think those things will stop just because he's covering up? They will worsen. When you give the devil a mouth, he'll take several. You give him a chance, the devil does not like to stop. He doesn't. He will take chances. Except you deal with the situation. And then turn to God. Brother, and truly carry God on the inside. Until that, you have not become a big boy. You have not become a big girl. You're actually small. You're just deceiving yourself. Read on, beloved.
The wise sometimes go hungry.
The wise sometimes go hungry with all of his wisdom. Alright.
And the skillful are not necessarily wealthy.
And the skillful are not necessarily wealthy. You know what I would do? I will learn more skill as I'm studying now. I'll be learning some more skill. I don't want to be poor, that's why. Are you serious? Woo! There is someone out there. The guy does not even know what you know. The guy is not even as talented as you are, but he's ruining. What happened? Something happened on a certain day. He was connected. And that shut out his destiny. He was just connected to someone. But you can, in fact, as you're listening to the guy, or you're watching what the guy is doing, I can do it. This is the simple thing that he's doing. You're watching him on TV. They didn't call you inside your room, only you. You're hungry in your room. Why are you not heard? Why? Life is spiritual. It's spiritual. Read the next one, come on.
And those
who are
educated
don't always lead successful lives. Is that what is there? Sir. That's the word of God talking. Did you see that? Those who are educated don't always lead successful lives. Brothers and sisters, I didn't write that. That's in the Bible. You see how people have deceived themselves. Then he said something. It is all decided by chance. This is the chance. By being in the right place at the right time. But brother, sister, how will you know? Or how will you be guided to be at the right place at the right time? How? Except by the Spirit of God. That's why you need the Holy Ghost in your life. If you push God aside, you are sunk. I'm talking about how you can recover your destiny in God. I just told you. Thank you. I just told you. The natural destiny, if that's what you want to do, alright. But know that apart from the fact that you may lose heaven, you will definitely lose reward. The best thing is to go for what you were made for. Okay? And I told you to turn to Ephesians chapter 2 the other time, verse 10. Turn there now. Some of you thought I forgot. No, I didn't forget. Read it. Did you see that? His workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Unto good works. I would have read that to you from the Amplified Version. That breaks it down, but I won't do that now. Okay. Every man. Now listen to this one. If you miss anything here today, don't miss this one I want to say. Every man. For every man to become great, or for any man to become great, he will need men. No, I don't need any man, I only need God. It's true, but God uses men. If you're going to be great, if you're going to ever rise, there are those that God has have set in your path to make you great. They are called destiny helpers. If you ignore them, you ignore your greatness. If pride will not let you, then you're not about to be great. You are not about to rise. The pastor or the man of God that God has put in your life, that's the destiny helper. In fact, that's the number one. Because with him, you can meet any destiny helper in this world. All he needs to do is release word. Don't you understand that there are some people in this world that are anointed? They are anointed. God by himself, by his choice, he just chose them, anointed them, and say anything you say works. For anyone that will believe, he will be flying. To deny that is to be deceiving yourself. You see? Out of pride, somebody, I don't need anybody. I don't need anybody. Brother, you need somebody. If you're ever going to get to the top, you need someone to get there. You need somebody. And there are three kinds of destiny helpers. The first one, the first group, is called the long-term helpers. Long-term helpers. Long term. In other words, these ones are there for a long period of time. As you journey through your life, these ones are there to help you. They will keep helping you. They will keep helping you. Okay, let me go back to talking about the man of God. The man of God, when God brings the man of God into your life, is there to help you, except if you walk away by yourself. Okay? Sometimes you could have somebody that you call your pastor and he's not even the person. How do you know whether he's the person? You will know. Very simple. Because the one that has been sent, the man of God that has been sent into your life to help you, will solve your problems. Because he's the one that has that key. Anywhere else you go, you just be jumping around. Problem is not solved. You are jumping. You are, they like you, but nothing is, you are not moving forward. You see what's going on here. Uh-huh. So you see, long-term helpers. These long-term helpers, they are there anytime. As you grow, as you marry, they are still there. They have not left you. At every point in time when you need their help, they are there for you. God put them in your life to achieve your destiny. Some people have missed it. They walked out on them. Some people out of anger walk away. Some out of pride, excuse. They just leave. And then they get in trouble for it. Long-term helpers. This long-term helper could be your daddy. It could be. It could be your uncle. It could be a friend that God just connected you with. It could be a neighbor. Now, listen to this. Listen to this. God primarily, don't forget this. I'm about to say something now. God primarily, if he wants to help you, he primarily uses those that you know first. If God wants to help you first, primarily, he uses those that you know first, or those that know you first. Secondarily, he uses those that you don't know. You know, we say God is able. He can use anybody. It's true. But first, if God ever goes out to use someone that you don't know, that's because he has looked around. There's nobody that can render that help. So he extends his greatness, brings someone else. That's why he is not limited. But primarily, those that you know, those that know you first. That's how God functions. So sometimes a destiny helper, long-term destiny helper, could be a member of your family. It could be. And when I'm talking about that, I'm not just talking about a monetary form, like they are giving you money. Not just that. It might just be a skill, supply. It might be wisdom. It might be advice, and so on and so forth. But that fellow is there to help you. Then there is the short-term helpers. Now, these short-term helpers, they just come in. And when they are done with what they have come to achieve in your life, they are out. Now, people get broken in their hearts when they want to hold on to that one. Oh no, don't go now! But this job is done. Now, if you try to force things, it will lead to serious trouble and fight. Because his job is done. He's supposed to go now. All right, bye-bye. So, short-term helper. That's what he came to achieve. That's just it. I mean, you just walk into an organization, you want to, and the guy just said, I just like you. I can't just explain why I like you. What do you want? And then you say, oh, okay, I will ensure you get the job. You can't understand. Oh, God, favor of God. Yes, that fellow has helped you. Has helped you. Short time. That might just be the end. That might just be his part. Some people have tried to marry a short-term helper. They thought, oh, the guy just helped me with everything. I love him. And so they get home and get in trouble. And then fight begins. Oh, you have changed. You were not like this. He wasn't your husband in the first place. He came only to help for that season. Some men, out of greediness, they've gone after the lady because the lady has some change. And she just helped for a while. And said, I'm beginning to fall in love with her. And come to think of it, she doesn't even have a husband. And then they get in trouble for it. Short-term helper. And then there is the third group. The third group is what is called helpers connector. Now, these helpers connector, they are not necessarily the ones to help you. They just connect you to someone. You know how to do that. Are you serious? I know. I have this uncle that wants something like this. They say, don't worry. And you'll be wondering how he would be so zealous about it. No, let me just call him right now. Uncle, you remember that thing you said you wanted? I have a friend here that can. Should I give her your number? And then, before you know it, it's blowing up. The uncle connects that one with another person and to another person. And before you know, this lady has become internet. Oh, boy. But that guy, listen, the one that connected may not turn out to be as rich as he. The helpers connectors are actually signposts. You understand? They don't get there themselves, really. But they point to the place. Have you ever, you want to enter a place or a road or a street, and then you're trying to come, and then you see this signboard. Have you ever seen the signboard following you or going ahead of you? Say, follow me, this is the place. You only see it and you look, oh, okay, with the arrow. All right, that way. Then you go, but it's still standing there. You come back, you still meet it there. You don't have to go there. Brothers and sisters, men of God, there are men of God that are pronounced into the lives of their members. And some of them have become senators and governors. They themselves never became a governor, but they prophesied it. Those are the people that you don't ignore. The man prophesies to him, and it works in your life. You lumber, you hold on to him and say, sir, you are not going anywhere. Because you should know that he carries something for your life. To be proud is to lose. Every man needs men to rise. Deceiving yourself is deceiving yourself. You see, these connectors can also be called bridges. You see, they just connect you from point A to the other point. You move there, you move into life. Just connector. Help us connector. Then, there's something else I want to show you about all this. Say glory to God. How do you know a destiny helper? Some characteristics. Number one, this one, he will help you willingly. When he wants to help you, he will do it willingly. I mean, either you ask him for the help or he by himself came up to help, he will do it with joy. He will do it willingly. They won't be begging, please. If you are beginning to beg someone, please, please, please. No, that's not. He's not the one. You are just pushing things. The one that God has called to be your destiny helper, we do it with joy. In fact, he may even be pursuing. He may even be the one pursuing you. Come, don't you want this thing? Why? Because that's the one that God has planned to help you into it. He will do it willingly. That's one characteristic. In other words, no ulterior motive. He won't do it because he wants to get something. No, he's not interested in getting anything. If somebody say, you know what, I will help you, but 60%, every 60% will be coming to me. He say, wow, a destiny helper. At least it will make me become famous. That's not God's way. You should know that's not even divine destiny. That's man's way. Because a true destiny helper will never attach anything to it. If he's ever going to attach anything, it will be something that you don't feel at all. You won't feel it at all. He will be the one to pay the price. He can't just, he will derive pleasure. How, why is that happening? Because God ordained, there is something on him or in him that troubles him, that until he has helped you, he's not resting. It's just in him. You know how much burden I carry for my members here? They are probably in their house sleeping, but I'm not sleeping. You see? All the time, thinking about them. Why? Because that thing is a burden. It's God that put it there. You have to do this thing. So you have no choice than to do it. Are you still out there? Another characteristic of a destiny helper is that he has the resources. The one that does not have the resources and only has the mouth, he is not the one. The resources. He has the money, if it has to do with money. He has the connection, if it has to do with connection. He has the talent, if it has to do with talent. He has the skill, if it has to do with the skill. He has the anointing, if it has to do with that. He has what it takes to help you. He has it. And so that's the destiny. If he doesn't have it, he's not. God will not bring empty barrel to you too. I mean, there's somebody that you need to help. He's not showing up and say, I will help you. Then you look at him and say, you, I will help you. Hey, glory to God. Then finally on that, characteristics, his motive will always be pure. clean. No selfishness. No ulterior motive. I mentioned that before, but it's a real point on its own. His motive will always be pure. His motive will always be clean. There is not something else behind his mind. He's all out for this. Okay, now, I said I want to tell you something. There are situations, and strange situations too, that a destiny helper may lose the inspiration to help you. When that happens, you should know something has gone wrong, because he is not supposed to lose the inspiration to help you. The inspiration is supposed to be there, but there are people that have had those who are supposed to help them lose the inspiration. They lost it. Maybe they started out with you, but later on they got fed up. Please, this don't matter. Please, am I the only? Please, go away. Then you now get confused. You may even say, no, he's not the one. He might be the one. And that's the reason why we're here today, to deal with such situations. You may lose the inspiration. You can't just understand why. It may be because you are the cause. You may do some things to mess up, you know, human beings with attitude. Or it may be the devil speaking lies to his heart or to our hearts. The devil is seeing where you're going, speaking lies to deceive him. And all of a sudden, the guy can just understand. I don't want to see that guy again. Please, don't let him come in here. He tells the gate man, anytime you want, I'm not around. He has lost the inspiration. What do you need to do in such a case? It's time to pray. You know it's time to pray now. The reason that's happening is either the devil is doing it, or you have missed a particular spiritual instruction, disobedience. Maybe God gave you a prophetic instruction one time that you ignored. Those are the things that usually lead to that. Don't listen, that's the fact. If you're going to work in a company, I want to work in the biggest company. All you need is a connection. All you need is a man to help you. Anywhere, so there is nothing in this world that leads to greatness that you don't need man. Dangote had people. He couldn't have done it by himself. If all those that are working with him decide to leave him, we will see how rich he is. He will spend all the money. You see, you all need men to rise. Then the third thing that could cause this is unbelief and anxiety. Some people spoil things with anxiety, unbelief. You see, God says, don't worry, relax. That guy, as you go, somebody is there to help you. But you will not relax. You went ahead of God. You see, you missed his timing. Because of anxiety, you're so anxious. The guy will take me to London. The guy will take me to London. So you do not relax. No, the guy will take me to London. And then you're worried, is it not taking time? And then before you know it, you jump ahead of God. And you get there, it's not the timing. And you mess things up. Then you feel broken. Anxiety, unbelief. Relax. All this thing boils down to working with the Spirit of God. Say hallelujah. You know what I'm telling you? I'm helping you. These are teachings for life. Carry them along in your life. Never forget it. Then finally, enemies of destiny. There are enemies of destiny. According to the scriptures, there are only three of them. You ready? Okay. The first one is the word. The word. The word. Or. W-O-R-L-D. That's the first one. You want to know a man who is toying and joking with his destiny? That's a worldly man. Let me tell you, the way the world has been designed, everything in this world has been designed, orchestrated, tailored to bring men down. When they rise, they will surely come back. Everything has been designed that way. And everything in this world has been designed to fight Christians. You may not know. Nothing has been designed to favor you. It's only when you operate in faith that you dominate things and they cannot successfully fight you and win you. So you rule though you are here. The Bible says we are in this world, but we are not of this world. And Jesus said the world will hate you because you are not its own. If they hate me, they'll hate you. They hated Jesus, so what do you expect? They hate you too. So everything in this world is fighting you seriously. As a Christian, you're born again, then it's coming for you. Everything, the way they design it, the movies you watch, the films, the entertainment, everything, the music, everything has been designed to bring down your spirit so that your spirit comes to level zero. You see a Christian, he has jumped in church. He was really motivated, full, inspired, full of the Holy Ghost. He went home like he was floating home. Ah, leba gaga. Every moment he was speaking with tongues. Zigaya, magage. Hey, then he gets home. Electricity is on. And he sits in front of the TV into 12, 1 a.m. By the time it's time to go and sleep, he has become carnal, worldly, emptiness. He stands up. He can't feel anything again. No spirit, nothing. You see, few hours ago, he was floating. He just left church. He felt like, I'm in love with Jesus. I can do anything for this Jesus. Now, at this moment, something has gone wrong. What happened? Worldliness. It's called carnality. The Bible says to be carnally minded is death. And the devil is working so hard to get young people because he knows young people are giving to their senses. Anything that will bring comfort and convenience and they will enjoy it, that their flesh will, oh, they love it. So he knows. So he's using the entertainment world. The very things that you love, he's using it. And then you just think, well, there's nothing to read. You know, there's a reality show. This reality show. So you sit down there watching. Just nothing so bad about it. You're becoming more worldly. Meanwhile, you're supposed to become more of Christ. When you become more of Christ, you dominate. Nothing shakes you. You are on top. No matter what comes, you are still standing. You are full of faith. You just know that you know that you know that your future is sure. You know that your greatness is secure. No matter what comes, you know on the inside. You understand? In your knower, down in your knower, that you will never fail. You just know why. The word of God in your spirit, you have become more of Christ. As you fellowship more with him. No, instead, you turn your attention to the word. You're listening to men, carnal men. Listening to their songs, listening to their speech, following them up. You know all those kind of things. Then you are becoming like them. These are worldly men. Those that they need help for their life. They need to be rescued from hell. Who's doing that? These are people that need help. You don't even know. Maybe you are the one that God might send. But because you are not ready, you are as worldly as they are. To be carnally minded is death. Glory to God. See, I will never be worldly. So the first one is the world. That's an enemy of this one we are talking about. This divine destiny. Number two. I said there are three of them. This is what we are rounding off with. Number two. The flesh. In fact, let me explain it this way. The word empowers the flesh to open the door to the devil to ruin you. So it usually starts with the word, then the flesh. Now, what's the flesh? The flesh craves after the world. Why? Because the flesh is of the world. Your flesh was made from here, not from heaven, from here. God formed you from the dust of the earth. That's what the Bible says. And so your flesh, naturally, without you doing anything about your flesh always craves, loves to go in the direction of the world. Those are the things that feed your flesh. Those are the things that your flesh enjoys. Nothing else. Spiritual things. The flesh does not want it. You are fasting. The flesh says, don't joke with me. What kind of fast is that one? With that yam and egg, I'm facing me. No. You see, because that's the flesh for you. The flesh wants pleasure. I mean, everybody is doing it. How can I stay without having a girlfriend? It doesn't even make sense to me. I'm not in the university. What are you talking about? You see, and even sometimes your parents could even encourage you. Hey, tell us now, who is now your girlfriend? You see, so you sound, it looks to you like, well, that's normal. I mean, that's normal. Everybody does it. How can you say, in the midst of your friends, you can't just, what's the name of that your girlfriend again? What's that? Even if you don't have, you mention somebody, say, because you have to feel like you're among, you know, the flesh. Must you be like them? Are you of the same destiny? Your fingerprints are not alike. No two fingerprints are alike. Never! You are different. You ought to step aside and say, excuse me, I don't belong in that group. I mean, everybody does it. As a lady too, her pride is to have a guy calling every moment. She looks at this guy again. You see? That's her pride. The flesh. She is worldly. She is fleshy. Her flesh is too much. You think about it. Who is this? A Christian sister. Full of the Holy Ghost. There is not an issue. Shut up. Deal with your flesh. You see? You think that something is wrong with you. I mean, as a guy at my age, do you know how old I am? No girlfriend. You think something is wrong. I mean, your friends even think something is wrong with you. How can you not have... Excuse me. Are you going to follow the standards of the world or the standard of the Word of God? These are the things that lead men to destruction. No wonder Jesus said, the very things that men esteem, they are abominable, abomination to God. They stink before Him. These are the very things that you esteem. You think it's normal. I mean, it's normal. But this is what is destroying. Do you know some? Let a spiritual man tell you about fornication. About sexual activity. Let a spiritual man tell you about it. You will fear. You think it's just, you had sex, my girlfriend. Alright, I love you. You think it's going to end there? Nah, it doesn't. It doesn't always end there. It doesn't. You see, that's the flesh. Those things will destroy you. Those kind of things don't lead you to... I'm not talking about the natural destiny now. Somebody can be following natural destiny and become very rich because he's following natural destiny. Meaning that's his lot. That's his path in this world. And he'll end up big time in hell. I mean, he's been destined. That's his own path. But as a child of God, we don't go that same direction. We can fulfill our destiny and be loaded. And in fact, according to the Word of God, when you walk in divine destiny, wealth is guaranteed. Because everything you will require is on your path. Boy, I'll never be poor in my life. Everything. See, the street you are walking, the street that God has given you to walk, on that street is everything that you require. Every wealth. As you go, as you journey in that street, at every point in time, when this is needed, God adds it. When you are ready for this, God gives that to you. Because He will not deliver something to your hand that will destroy you. You have to be trained first. He trains you. At the beginning of your journey, it looks like there is nothing much, but just keep walking, brother. Down the road, somewhere, the other one will add up. Then you begin to sing, come and join me, sing hallelujah. It has been there all the time. You've not just reached there. Instead of following the carnal way, when you follow the carnal way, the other street, that one, that's natural. When you get there, from the beginning, there are things there to entice you. But you discover later that at the end of that journey, emptiness. Have you ever started a journey and they gave you a lot of gala and you got... Somebody knows about it. And then, as you start the journey, you're eating it. The journey is a long one. So you felt that maybe you may get more gala. And then you finish, you are eating, you finish. Then somewhere along, you finish the gala, finish you got. Then when the driver tells you, as a matter of fact, we just spent like we are going 8 hours, so it's 2 hours we just exhausted. You finish gala, finish everything. Okay, you have hope. I will get another one. Until hunger. And then you discover that all the way you're going is bush on this side, bush on that side. Nobody is about to sell any gala there. Then you now say, hey, what is happening? You see? Because that journey is supposed to entice you at the beginning. In fact, when you peep into the street and you say, there are some goodies here. Then you look at this one where God has put you. You can't find anything. So let me not deceive myself. The angel will know. It's better than the devil. Or the devil they know. It's better than, can you imagine? Stupid talk. There's the devil you know. So you see, the flesh. Oh God. How people have destroyed their lives because of the flesh. Did you ever read about Moses, a great man of God? Do you know that Moses did not actually end up? He didn't finish what he was supposed to do. He didn't fulfill it because of the flesh. There are certain things you find in the flesh. If you study Galatians chapter number 5, maybe we should read that now. Galatians chapter number 5, everybody. Galatians chapter number 5, read from verse 19. Everybody, we are going to 21. So read from verse 19. Everybody, want to go? Did you see those? They are called the works of the flesh. Your flesh working. Interestingly, right there, you see wrath. For those who are using King James. Another version will say anger. That was what affected Moses. Okay. Now, don't leave your Bible. Go to Exodus chapter number 12. Listen, if today you don't change things in your life, it's your fault. Because in a short while from now, we'll begin to do some serious prayer. Let's go to Exodus. The 17th chapter, book of Exodus. The 17th chapter, book of Exodus. Reading from the first verse. Have you all found it? And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness. Say wilderness. Don't forget that. Wilderness of sin. S-I-N, sin. After, not sin, as in when somebody commits sin. It's just the name of that place, alright? After their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore, the people did child with Moses, and said, give us water, that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why child ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses, and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt, to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? Can you imagine this kind of people? Few, about 2 chapters away, God performed a miracle for them, split the Red Sea wide open. A chapter after, God gave them manna from heaven. It had never happened before. God furnished their table with big birds, meat. And now, because of water, they are still disturbing Moses. See the way they are talking to him. Okay, next verse. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto these people? They'd be almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people and take with thee of the elders of Israel and thy rod. Say thy rod. Mark that. Wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thine hand and go. Behold, now look at the instruction. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock. And there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And when Moses did that, water came out and the people drank. What did Moses do? Follow the instruction. God said to him, take the rod, the same one that you used to part the Red Sea, take it. And when you get to the rock, smite the rock. And Moses smote it and water came out. Wow. Interesting miracle. But then go to the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 20. All right now. From verse 1. I believe you marked some things in the other one that was read, so you won't be confused when you get here. Then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert. This one is not wilderness. This one is desert of Zin. This is not Sin. This one is Zin. Because sometimes when you're reading both, you may be confused. Some translation may even confuse it. They say it's the same event. It's not the same event. That one was wilderness. Properly, if they translated it properly, the first one should be rendered wilderness. This one should be rendered desert. And that's why the King James has put it like that for you. So, it says, into the desert of Zin, in the first month, and the people abode in Kadesh. This one is Kadesh, where they abode. And Miriam died there and was buried there. And there was no water for another time. Now, this is another time. There was no water for the congregation, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. After that first event, they gathered, can you imagine? They didn't remember that one. They still gathered again against Moses, and they started complaining. Okay? And the people charged with Moses and spake, saying, would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. And why have you brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? And wherefore have ye, now they control their whole journey in the wilderness, and this part of it is the desert. Okay? And wherefore have ye made us to come up out of the Egypt to bring us unto this evil place? It is no place of seed or of figs or of vines or of pomegranates, neither is there any water to drink. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod. Now, follow this instruction. Take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rod, unto the rock, before their eyes. God said the first time, smite the rock. You remember that? This time around, God says, speak to the rock. Because this is the second time this is happening. Alright, let's read them now. And thou shalt bring forth. Is that where we were? And it shall give forth his water. And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beast drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. Did you notice what's happening? God said, speak to the rock. The first time God said, you see, the first time God said, make sure you take your rod and go there and you smite the rock. Okay? So now, this second time again, because God mentioned, make sure you go with your rod, but speak to the rock. I tell people, when God says something to you, learn to listen to what he said in what he did not say. And then learn to listen to what he did not say in what he said. When you're going to walk with God, you learn to listen to him. In what God said, did he say this? Otherwise, you may make a blunder that will cost you. Now, why would Moses do this? Actually, because he was angry from his tone. This is not the first time he would do this. You remember when he went to get the tables, those 10 commandments from the Lord too. He did the same thing. And when God said, hey, God was talking to him on that mount. God said, hey, it's okay, hold on. Your people are defiling themselves. That was when the people took the gold and everything, their necklace, and they gave it to Aaron to build them a calf, and they worshiped that calf. And God was talking to Moses, and God saw that, and God said, stop! Your people have defiled themselves. Get down. And you know, Moses coming with these 10 commandments, got down, and then he saw it. Excuse me, God already told him what the people were doing. And he interceded. In fact, he interceded for the people. He said, please. God said, I will destroy them. He said, please don't destroy them. Please don't do so. He interceded for them. Now he came with these tables of stone. And then he was coming. And then he saw them dancing. He saw the calf, the golden calf. And he got angry. Man of God. Listen. No matter the anger, not with the word of God. He took the water and smashed that thing on the floor. Anger problem. The same anger that drove him from Egypt. That's the same thing. Smashed the thing. He got so hungry. He talked to them, you know, he lashed them. After it was done, he took those things and he says, please go and grind them. They ground those things. He poured it inside their water. He said, all of you, begin to drink. Begin to drink. He was that hungry for God. But God, you know, overlooked that and God gave him a light punishment. What's the light punishment? I'll tell you. When he went back to God, the Bible says the first time it was God with his hand that hewn that those tables out of the rock. But this second time, when he went, God said, you do it. I will be dictating, you'll be writing. It was God that wrote the first one. The Bible says with his finger. But this time, God says, you write it. Because God is not going to write that twice. He says, go ahead and write it. I'll be dictating it. And God dictated it. So God took that lightly. But this one, because this was a terrible blunder. Terrible mistake. For the Bible tells us that that rock represents Christ. Christ is supposed to be smitten once. You see that? He was smitten once for us. That was a shadow of the New Testament. You understand? It symbolizes something. But Moses didn't know because of his anger. So he smote the rock. And that's Christ. And when he smote that, the second time, you notice here, he smote it the first time. It didn't work. That should get his attention. But he was still angry. He smote it the second time. Water came out. Somebody say, why did water come out? I will tell you in a short while. First of all, that thing symbolizes something. Symbolizes Christ. The first time Christ was smitten. The next time, you don't smite Christ again. You talk to him. Talk to the rock. But he missed it. And then he smote it. The first time, God was there. God felt what? But because God... You know when God calls you as a man of God, even your errors in the presence of the people, he can cover it, though you may pay. So the second time, God wouldn't, you know, he wouldn't dishonor his man. So God caused the water to come out. But all that time, God was angry. You see it now. Verse 11 again. And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod, he smote the rock twice, and water came out abundantly. And the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron. God said, because you believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. When God was calling Moses, God told him, you will help me take them to the promised land. Now, his assignment was terminated. What happened? Anger. You see why you need to put your flesh under? Because it's not just sexual sin, but there are other things too that could disconnect you from your destiny helper. Could disconnect you. You could just miss it. Why? How long are you going to spend on earth that you want to give your flesh this crown? Some people cannot pass. They can't pass the 12. Their stomach or their body. What kind of thing is this one? I have to break off. You see, for your destiny. Some cannot even sit like this. For some people, if they are in the service like this and you're talking like this, they feel you are wasting time. Watch them. They are headed for the rocks. They feel you are wasting time. If you spend 3 hours in church, they're like, what kind of church is that one? Why are you spending 3 hours? Did we call you? When you were coming, did you know where you were coming? Did they say you were coming to Pastor Victor is holding? Is that what you heard? You heard Apostle Victor Peters. What does that mean? That there are some extra ministry that we carry out here. Apart from the word of God that I teach you now, I will demonstrate. And when you're demonstrating, you need time. Because the Spirit of God is moving everywhere. Last Sunday was not a program, but still the move of the Spirit in this place. Did it not take our time? But people were blessed. You see somebody, did they force you? Those who are serious with life, they don't give such stupid talk. They want to, the church, the service should start, pam. I hand, pam. So their life too goes, pam. That's the fact. That's why many of them, they live a miserable life. And if you check these people, these same people that complain, they are the very ones. They have issues in their families to deal with. Issues pursuing them. It's still the same person that will be complaining. It's not too long. Okay. Those who are serious with life don't talk like that. If you come to a service and you're seated and all they are doing is, you know, ceremony, the pastor goes like this, and that's what you are doing for the next 3 hours, and you're seated there and you're, what is this? Such, I will advise you, carry, stand up and go, because that one is not showing anything. But you are in a service, you say it's taking time, but something is happening. Your eyes are open, you are seeing power, you are seeing God changing destiny, you are there. You still say, what is all this? Time is going. We will know. You are rushing. Where are you? You will rush. You will see you. And when you get back to your room, nothing serious. You go there and be gisting. But blessing, you have missed it. You see, it is the flesh. So you can't just sit like this. Their flesh will be telling them, stand up, stand up, stand up. It's as though the flesh is just crashing them. Stand up, stand up, stand up. Just take a walk a little. Take a lack of discipline. Take a walk a little. At least walk around small. Walk around. They walk around. Stretch. While he's stretching, he's going out. He has missed something. He doesn't know. Angels are walking all the time. The man of God is talking. He's about to deliver his goods. He just stood up and walked out. You see, his life is finished. That's the day that was planned for him to have improved. No. His flesh will not let him. Some people come like this all through the sleep. He's a demon. It's worrying you. Word of life. You are receiving words. People are hoping. They are receiving something for their life. And like I told you on Sunday, as you're listening and you're receiving, the glory in your spirit shines, glows. Somebody is busy sleeping. When he now comes out and now starts struggling, he now says, I don't know what happened. The enemies of my father's house. No, it's you. Because when your mates were busy listening, you were sleeping off. You missed important points for your life. How dare you? The final one, that's why we are here to deal with today, is the devil. Enemies of is the devil. And usually when Satan does it, he uses human beings. I'm talking about enemies of destiny. Divine destiny. And the last one is the devil. Brothers and sisters, the devil is defeated. He's not as powerful as people think he is. But people give him the power. If there is anybody pursuing, or you are seeing the person in the dream, or blah, 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 and so on and so forth, the person is being used by the devil. Human beings in themselves are not wicked. What makes them wicked is Satan. There is somebody somewhere that has given himself, has placed, make a room inside himself for the devil to use him. And so the devil is using him. So that's the problem. And so that one now, he sees you, he's not happy. He sees something about your progress, he's not glad. And so he's going after you, against you, and so on and so forth. That's the devil. Or the devil can do it by himself. Visiting you in dreams, doing all sort of nonsense, disturbing your destiny. Or he could even link it to an idol from great-great-grandpa. A man who's born again, confesses the word of God, but he doesn't understand what's still going on. The guy is confused. He said, what is going on? I'm a child of destiny. I refuse this in the name of Jesus. He could have walked, but he has not caught the revelation. He's only talking. So because he has not come to the place of revelation, he's still struggling too. Those who have come to the place of revelation, when they say, I refuse it in the name of Jesus, the devil knows. He takes off. Because those words have power. Words that come from revelation. But if you know you've not grown your revelation to that, you've not gotten the thing deep. You only heard it from your pastor and you are saying it. Brother, you take it seriously in prayer. The devil, no. And you know that's where we miss it. That's where we miss it. We say we are faith people. You know, what are you talking about? No. You know I'm a child of God. No devil can come near me. You know. You are just deceiving yourself in the corner of your room. You know what happens when you sleep. You know. How come they still press you when you are sleeping? And you want to shout. Your hands heavy. Your legs heavy. Everywhere heavy. Then you are remembering what Kenneth Hagin said. If you shall, whosoever shall confess with his mouth, he shall have whatsoever he said. He said, yes, I'm a faith person. But why is this thing pressing you? Why is your faith? Why is it not working? Why is it pressing you? Then until that thing goes, the name of Jesus is gone. Look at you, he's gone. Then you now get bothered. What's going on?
I'm born again. Then somebody comes to you and tell you, you need deliverance. Say, I reject it in the name of Jesus. I'm a child of God. I don't need deliverance. Listen, you need deliverance. Why? Why will you need deliverance? A Christian is not supposed to need deliverance. But incidentally, it happens when people have not grown. That's why we are teaching you the word of God, so that you can grow up above that level. Incidentally, it happens. That's the painful part of it. It's not supposed to be. Why? The devil is subject to you. But how come people need it? Yes. Because they've not grown. They've not grown their faith. They are too busy. And the ones that are trying, they've not caught the revelation. You see, that's why you need it. But that does not mean you should now start singing it about, I need any small thing. You know, some people, they push it to the extreme. Any small thing. I need deliverance. Another thing, they are back there again. Sir, I think I need another deliverance. Then another, something happened again. That's it. They heard talk in their sleep. They are back again. Sir, deliverance number 3. You see, this is their life. Life is deliverance, deliverance. Deliverance from what? When that devil comes out of your life, he leaves you. Stand your ground. Jesus said, if you don't, that devil will go and bring 7 others. So you see, when the anointed man of God help you get rid of that thing, you stand and say, he's not coming back here. In the name of Jesus. That one will still work. Because you're standing and the devil has no choice. He will stay off. But you say, you are not coming back in the name of Jesus. You are not coming back. You stand your ground, he's not coming back. Not that they delivered. Yeah, he said, glory to God. Brothers and sisters, praise the Lord. You know, after that man of God prayed for me, that thing went and it's not coming back again. Hallelujah. And then you went to go and be sleeping and playing wrong stuff. Be watching it. Put wrong. The devil is, when he's coming back this time, he says, this one will be worse. And then you now say, don't worry, I'll go back to that same man of God. Sir, I think I need another deliverance. What a life, a Christian. Are you ready? Something is going to begin to happen here. Legarata Zozozo.
This message was produced by Supernatural Kingdom Church. To get more of our messages, call 0806-0087-643 or 0816-0114-389. Thank you and God bless you.